It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimera's Comics. Chimera's is your one-stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimera's Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. We just got back from Puerto Rico. And when I say we just got back, I mean this morning. We flew all night. As you can hear from my voice, we're not in a tip-top heat condition. The coffee is here. The coffee is getting me through the next hour. The coffee is not jacking me up to normal levels. Steven is actually at the shop. We flew so late that I dropped him off at the shop. He's running the store, and he'll be here later. But we were down in Puerto Rico this weekend, as promised. We went down to see the King's Heartbeat in Rincon, which they usually do during the surfing festival. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. King's Heartbeat is a little band made up of guys that I've known for a really long time, people that I played with in New York. They're based out of Queens in Brooklyn. And they're a mix of rock and soak and reggae. What you just heard is one of the tracks from their newest album. And they went down there to tour. And when they go down, they bring an insane amount of energy. This episode is going to be a little less geeky. This episode is going to be a little more musical. Walker, the singer in A King's Heartbeat, is a devout Star Wars fanatic and a connoisseur of 70s Marvel, especially Amazing Spider-Man. And we didn't get to talk about any of that. We just mostly talked about music and enjoyed the shows and enjoyed being outside. As you guys know, this has been one of the hardest winters that this whole country has had to face. I know, even living in Chicago, where it's normally much, much colder than I'm used to, most of the people here haven't experienced anything like this. We've had 8 inches of snow outside for the last 2 months. You know, every day is gray. Every day is 10 to 20 degrees. I know New York has had the same problem, just snow after snow and polar vortex after polar vortex. It's one of those, it's like if you had three hurricanes in one fall. That's what this winter has been. And quite honestly, it's been wearing people down. I've noticed just people on Facebook and people on Twitter and people posting pictures. I've never seen a winter that got people this down. I mean, it's hard in a lot of ways. You don't get the energy from the sun that you used to. You're not getting the vitamins from the sun that you used to. You can't go outside. I mean, this is the first winter that you can't send your kids outside to play in the snow. You know, Ben came up to me and said, when the last time it snowed, I said, do you want to make a snowman? He goes, it's like, Daddy, I don't like the snow anymore. It's too much. And that broke my heart because, you know, if kids don't want to play in the snow, where are we? But the point of that is that because of that, we needed to get out of here. And we needed to go to a place that was 86 degrees. So when we heard about this weekend and we knew friends that were going down, we ran down there. And it rejuvenated our spirits in a lot of ways. And it's something I probably wouldn't do. I know, as you guys know me by now, I'm fairly high strung. I'm constantly looking for the next problem to fix. And I'm usually not looking for the next good time. I'm the type of guy who walks away from a good time going, hey, that was pretty good, but I didn't notice it then. And I'm learning as I'm talking to people and meeting people that's necessary. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. If you're like me, you get locked into this rhythm of, I have to, you know, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And you go from something you don't want to do to the next thing you don't want to do to the next thing you don't want to do. And throughout it all, you have a weather that's sapping your energy. So this weekend was something that I didn't have to do. There was no reason for me to be there. I sat in with the band a couple of times, but they didn't need me like other shows. And you know, this podcast is a little outside the norm. It's not, we're not covering C2E2, you know, C2E2 is going to be an, I have to, you know, San Diego Comic-Con is going to be an, I have to, Toy Fair was an, I have to, the Captain America movie, Days of Future Past, all the movies that are coming out this summer, for this podcast are going to be, I have to, But this was an I want to. And just every now and then you need to explore the I want to's in life, because without them you just get grayer and grayer and grayer. And I think we're all in that phase. I'm not advocating everybody go take a vacation right now. If you can, do it. If you're thinking about it, if you have the money, you have the time off, and you're thinking, God, I'd like to go somewhere warmer, but you know what? I have to go to the dentist next week, and then I have to take the car in, and then I have to go to this reading at the library. Sometimes those things can wait, and sometimes just enjoying yourself for a while is the most important thing you can possibly do. I guess most of you know this already. I'm not very good at it, so it's just something that's been on my mind, and it's something I really want to talk about. So we recorded a few segments down there, and I'll play those for you now. We used the new iPad with the GarageBand app, which was actually majorly different than the GarageBand I'm using now. So there was a learning curve to it, but I think we got some interesting stuff. And then at the end of the show, we'll record later tonight when the store closes, and Steve and I will give a wrap-up, because there are a lot of really, really great stories to tell. All the transition music you're going to hear is The King's Heartbeat. So if you like what you're hearing, go look him up on iTunes, because the album is available now. And with that, we're going to just jump right into Steve and I sitting on a balcony and not being cold.
Every morning when I and I rise, I give thanks to the Almighty. If you allow an eye and I to see another day, well, I'll know my heart might be happy. Head full of everyday situation.
All right, so we are on the balcony.
Yeah, it's a beautiful view out here.
In Rincon right now. Yeah, no one's here. Everybody kind of went out. Everybody's getting ready. Everyone's having dinner. We're eating Ritz crackers.
Yeah. Getting ready for tonight.
Yeah, but we're also staring at over the ocean and looking at bikini girls.
Everything is beautiful out here.
Everyone hates us right now. Because everyone...
Everyone back in Chicago hates us.
And in New York.
Yeah.
Everyone is having the worst winter ever. And we have 2 days of not that.
We have two more days of not that.
That's true.
The rest of today and then tomorrow. We have yesterday and none of that.
Yeah, that's if the snowstorm doesn't come and keep us from going home, which would be horrible.
Yeah, that'd be really heartbroken.
I would. We'd have to sit out here... Keep drinking beer.
Mm.
How much beer can one man have?
I don't know.
Apparently a lot of people have enough beer until they die.
That's true.
That's kind of how they work. So how are you enjoying it so far?
It's been awesome. Every fucking minute. Sleeping like a baby. When I wake up, it's like that. Oh, I don't have to do anything. Oh, I have to find alcohol. I have to sit on a beach. I get to swim in the ocean. Everything is awesome.
Yeah, you're sleeping better than me. I'm waking up like half hungover and then... Then drinking water or coffee, and then I'm kind of up.
Yeah, I think we were thinking before we got here we were going to do a lot of rum. And anytime it's a little bit more complicated than beer, I think I always get like a tinge of like hangover. And if I find if I just drink beer, no matter how much I drink, I don't have enough time to drink enough beer to get myself hungover and or like be sick and throw up. So I feel if I would just drink enough, you know, just keep drinking beer.
Sure, kind of back to beer.
I wake up and I'm fine, and I'm okay with that. It's cheap here. Speaking of cheap here, the fucking gas here is a dollar.
It's like no, it's not. It's 92 cents.
92 cents for a fucking gallon of gas.
Yeah, I didn't see an ExxonMobil sign anywhere.
It's crazy. It just shows you how fucking crazy like the taxes are on the gas in the fucking States.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's cool. It's, you know, there's a lot of it's very strange. It reminds me a lot of like Thailand, Cambodia when I was there a couple years ago. And
how so?
Well, it's like the beaches are the same. The fucking scenery is the same. The difference you get is like... They don't have resorts like fucking six stories tall. I stayed in a fucking wooden hut on a beach. And now it's like the same level of like exotic, beautiful scenery with like luxury attached. You know, because there's nothing luxury about a fucking PVC pipe as a shower.
And a fucking, is there water in the PVC pipe or is it just here's pipe?
Sometimes it's like muddish.
Hit yourself with pipe to shake off dirt. I don't know why cavemen are living in Thailand or Cambodia. I can't do a Thailand or a Cambodia accent, so it's shifted every time you tell me
a story.
Yeah,
it's just something foreign-ish. But it's like we got like a real shower here. There's some sand in the shower, but that doesn't matter because...
There's sand on us.
Yeah. But,
what's been your favorite part so far?
The ocean, man. Yeah. I love the ocean.
You will not come out of the ocean.
Because I love it. It's you know, I'm used to Lake Michigan, and the waves don't get this high, but it's just like the ocean is just, it's awesome.
When was the last time you were in the ocean?
Island.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were on some island in the middle of nowhere, and Shane found a ship. They had somebody nailed with like a rope and a chain, like a pallet, like a wooden pallet out in the ocean, about maybe 3 city blocks out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about distance, so everything's a fucking city block. And it's just drifting.
How many city blocks is the ocean?
It's, well, who fucking knows, right? But it's, so it was way out there, and that's what we were climbing on last time when we were in Thailand. You know, we'd climb it on this, like, pallet, just kind of stand out there, and it's rocking back and forth. And here, the closest thing we got is, the only difference is there's rocks, like, huge rocks with, like, this mossy shit growing on it out here. And but it's like there are chunks of like just sand, which is so unusual because Lake Michigan is all rocks and garbage and you know whatever.
Dead mafia members.
I mean, yeah, you know, but you can see through the water. You can see the grounds. You can see where your feet are. You can see what you're standing on. You can see like when there's a rock or whatever. You know, the waves are coming. They're, you know, yesterday was a lot better for the waves than today. That today they're pretty meek, I guess is the right word. But you're getting thrown a lot around a lot more today, it seems.
Yesterday the ocean was warmer too.
Yeah. It's weird. There's like warm spots, there's cold spots, you know, but it's, I don't know, man. I just love listening to it. I love hearing it. It's great.
Yeah. So we're going to go to show tonight. We're going to play you an interview. Coming up, we're here to see the King's Heartbeat. It's a New York local soca reggae rock band. We'll interview them in the next segment, but you saw their first show last night, and I've seen them a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I played in different variations of the band over the years. What did you think of the show last night?
It was awesome. And I didn't really know. It's like he was saying today, we interviewed him, it's like 7 guys or whatever. I'm trying to put all the band members together, and it's a really, really cool group. It's like the fucking Justice League over here. Everyone's got their own distinct set of superpowers and everything. Everyone's doing their own thing, but it's like they fucking mesh and it's perfect, you know? But it's, yeah, the show last night was in like a really cool place. Outdoors, most of it is like patio with like the string lights and stuff. And that was really sweet. So tonight's going to be at like a pool bar, I guess, which is, there's been some infamous stories floating around all weekend.
Yeah, it's called the pool bar.
About it. And so it should be a good show. And then there's storms coming. Fucking
well, the pool
Chicago,
bar,
New York.
The pool bar the last time. The last time we played there, apparently it was the place to be because it was jammed. And then the Puerto Rico's number one Rod Stewart impersonator showed up to check us out.
But you gotta think, like, how many fucking Rod Stewart impersonators are there in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, do you think there was a Rod Stewart impersonator off in Puerto Rico?
And it's like 3 guys showed up.
Finalists. But he also brought with him the number one Neil Diamond impersonator in Puerto Rico.
Same thing, as like there's 2 other guys on the island fucking doing Neil Diamond impersonations.
Yeah,
who
caught up and played with him. We ended up calling him Neil Kubik Zirconia.
It's awesome.
But it was that kind of night, and the band will tell you a little bit more. I tell you what, why don't we, let's just talk to them now. So now we're going into an interview with the band. As you'll hear as we set it up, Garage Band on the iPad was a learning curve, so we had a trial run, which dropped off, and we're starting it again. So you hear a lot of references to the fact that this is our second interview, although you will never hear the first one. But in the room, we have Walker Horning, the singer. We have BMWA, who is the second singer and rapper. Lucy M is the female vocalist. And Cooley Chat, who is the DJ and the producer of the project. Later in the interview, you'll hear Brian Sanders, the drummer, walk in, and he'll take over, but he doesn't really get an introduction. Also in the band is Matt McCann and Roger Machete, and they kind of hung out in the back, and they didn't really want to get too vocal about it. So let's talk to the band. This is the second pass at this. The first pass was awesome. There were many jokes about topless men in Star Wars, and you'll never hear that
right
ever again. But we got more people. So,
I'm right. You have a girl in a bikini now, so he's out.
Yes, which is exactly what you want in an audio podcast. And we moved the iPad to many, many places about the table, and it's going to be an interesting experiment. But we got Walker Horning.
How you doing, guys?
We got BMWA.
Price, lads.
We got Lucy.
Hey.
And we got Cooley.
What up?
We got most of the King's Heartbeat. We have all of the King's Heartbeat.
Some
except
of them are on the balcony.
Yeah, Roger and Matt are on the balcony. They're like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Right. Except the antisocial members.
Yeah. You need one. That's usually the guy who's the best at his
instrument.
That's
why we like to do everything in extremes. That's why we have three antisocial members.
Because you guys are that good.
But we're down in Puerto Rico, which means it is not 8 degrees. And as opposed to the first pass, this only Steven is topless.
Yeah.
Steven also has this amazing sunburn.
It's incredible.
I've never seen it before because he drunkenly just swiped sunscreen.
Yeah, I really thought it took care of the whole surface area, and I missed a large swatch.
A lot of surface area.
Yeah, I missed a lot. So you know where all my vulnerable parts are, all the places I can't reach.
So if somebody comes at you with a knife, that's where
they're... Stab me in the red, because I can't get the fucking
cool,
knife.
Cool, man. You can just tell them that's the new kind of tattoo.
There you go.
That's exactly what I said. I said you should go to a tattoo place, have them outline that, and then we're going to call you Fire Wings.
Have you ever seen the Bikini Islands? Well, neither have I. But his back does look like a flaming bird.
But there you go.
It's a bird of prey. You're a
bird of prey.
You are a bird of prey.
I just tell everyone it's deliberate, and then I look like more of a jackass.
Yeah, you really want to tell people, I did this to myself on purpose.
Hey, listen, on the plus side, he's definitely the only guy at the table still drinking a Budweiser.
That's true. Yeah. That's probably a problem. There should be more people.
It dulls the pain of the sunburn.
Yeah, because when we don't do caffeinated comics, we do alcoholic comics, and I think we're closer to that than we are to
the whole trip. Well, the coffee here is awesome. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I drink
it's
that Nescafe, man.
Is
it's
that
great.
What it is?
It's
yeah.
all over the Caribbean. It's awesome.
I found the perfect hangover food down here. We have black coffee from Puerto Rico, and then a pina colada.
And two candles and a rock.
Then you know where yes. Then you know where to Okay. I just put these on my mask. So let's ask the questions we already asked and pretend that they're spontaneous answers.
Okay.
So this is tonight's the last night.
Tonight's the last show.
Festival.
The King's Hop, the last performance here at the pool bar.
Yeah.
You had asked in a previous attempt, though, like how we got down here and how it started. Jimmy Dowd and I, we used to own a skateboard shop, and we have a lot of friends here in Puerto Rico. And we began with, I came down as a solo artist, and a year later, I came down with my band, The Brotherhood of the Grape, which you will remember for a while. And BMWA came with us, and we did, we started kind of mixing dancehall music with like classic rock and roll, and people loved it. So when we got back to New York, we assembled this team with Cooley, and Cooley's a producer, and we wrote some material. We got together an album, and we brought that King's Heartbeat down, which is kind of a amalgamation of all the stuff that we had done prior, but finally what apparently everybody wanted. So because the response is great.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, because I know Walker and I grew up together, but I've known BMWA, I've known you for like 10 years or so. I have no idea when you guys met.
Well, we met in Trinidad, kind of, or before it, but...
Yeah, we kind of met before it, but we actually really got to know each other in Trinidad. We had the same producer at the time, which is Brent Urban Oasis, and I was doing a soca project, and they brought him in to do a soca project, and we ended up on a school tour. It was the first show we did together in Trinidad. Since then, we went back down the other year, we spent like 4 months together in a house. So it's like, how can you not get to know somebody there, right? When you're fucking living together. It's like,
the real question is, how can you not get to hate them?
But I guess, I guess the real answer too, though, is music. I mean, that's the one thing that we all, and that goes for just about everybody in the band. Everybody loves music, and we like to push boundaries. We like to make new music, and we like to see what we can do. And, we have a nice odd mix of characters and talent, and we're hoping that, this particular combination gets us, to break worldwide.
How do you categorize this?
It's kind of tough. People cool.
I mean, it's a big mosh. I mean, it's like rock / reggae / soca. So, I mean, fuck it, world music.
So music from the planet Earth.
pretty much.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. And sometimes it's music, but sometimes Cooley's got us out there into the asteroid belt, man. Some of the stuff is pretty far out.
I know asteroid music.
There you go.
There's a lot of listeners for that. People who don't breathe.
All right, well, what about Galaga music or Galaxy, whatever the heck?
Galacticans.
Or just the Doctor Who theme over and over again.
But I think the best addition is we have, it's nice, from all the things that BMWI had done as far as live music is concerned, we added a female voice and a DJ element too, so we have the ability to call upon, sounds and samples and things that we didn't have to do before, and we have Lucy's great voice. So
yeah, there's seven people in this band now.
Yeah, it's like Earth, Wind, and Fire back in the day.
How do you schedule band practice? Because I have a three-piece band in Chicago, and I can't get both of them to agree what night they're coming over to play.
Well, it was easy. We just have a set night, and we rehearse that night every week. So Monday is our rehearsals, So everybody knows Monday.
Don't plan any shit.
Don't plan no shit for Monday.
That's how we do this. We do Saturdays at noon.
Yeah.
Except when we don't.
But also another benefit of having like a 7-person band is that, like, let's just say for some reason somebody's, you know, gets stuck in a situation where they can't make it. There's always other areas you can focus on to work on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you can get through.
That's the nice part about it. Like, you know, there's with songs itself. I mean, you can always break it down and just kind of rehearse like other elements of the song. So.
What are you most excited about now? Because this is really different music. What's your favorite song to play?
Get Fucked Up.
Get Fucked Up. I guess I don't know. I mean, to be quite really honest with you, if I have to pick my favorite song, it's Can't Wait.
Yeah.
I really like that. Like, I'm saying, I really like that one.
I like Don't Take Your Love Away. I think the hooks in that are, to me, my favorite. But as far as fun, though, like Don't Leave Me Here / Fucked Up is like, you know, I mean, that seems to be the one that gets the party going.
Yeah, it gets the party going. You know what I mean? Because we've been doing that a while, too. And, you know what I mean? Especially with the actual song that we mixed it with. He's been doing that for years. Everybody kind of knows it. See,
yeah.
I Can't Wait, it's kind of new to everybody. But once they get into it, you know. But, I mean, that's just my opinion for me, personally.
How do you guys write? Like, who writes the majority? You guys all just kind of pull it together?
Yeah, we kind of just... I mean, it basically starts as just... Like, I might have a hook, or I might just have a verse. He might have a hook.
Yeah.
And we just put them together. Yeah, we just listen to whatever he says. And then if I got a verse, I'd be like, all right, I got a verse for
him. Yeah.
Every song was done different, you know, when we did the project. Some stuff Walker had written already. He came in and was like, yo.
Well, you guys are doing a song that I remember working with you in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now, if that's the point we're just talking about.
Yeah, Tom Houston.
That's how old that song is.
Yeah. I wrote some.
You know, John and I were like, it was like years ago. We were like probably even, I might even just been out of my teens and we started working on that song. I mean, what it is now is a total kind of a, but still, the basic elements that are there are things that like we were working on back then. And I said, and now that Lucy's sung it, there's like I said, nobody else can sing it.
It's like a missing element, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, when, like I said, Aretha Franklin sang Respect, even though Otis Redding wrote him. That song's hers, man. Like, you can't say, oh, that's an Otis Redding song. That's Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Lucy's got that capability. She can do those kind of things. So I'm really proud of what you did with that song. Because it's a nice ballad, and she really made the most of it. Right, Luce?
Yeah.
Lucy straight with the cool. This is smart.
Was there slapping involved?
Run your song, fool.
Well, it's interesting. Go ahead.
I mean, like I said, I mean, this whole project is just a lot of talented people, man. And, you know what I mean? For each of us, everybody's just humble amongst whatever we're doing. So, you know what I mean? It's just like, we're so used to just being around each other that it's like second nature. So we just feed off each other. We can just look at each other and know what cool is going to do.
Because I saw you guys in November, but you've been around.
Well, I think we were working on the project for a while. I think we finished it around November of last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like any good thing. You know what I mean? You have to, everything has to build its legs, and, you know, we have to clock some shows, and, you know, it's tough getting the music together, you know, and the band rehearsed for it, because there's a lot of nuances, and even though it's like people see, you know, they hear a pop song or something like that, or, you know, one of our pop songs, there's a lot that goes behind it, and there's a lot to make the presentation correct. You know, so getting the right musicians in place was huge.
Yeah.
Now, is this where Colin would say it's the fifth time you've done it? It's the third time you've done it at the MWA. It's the first time you guys first, right?
Yep.
And how is it working out for you? Well, you haven't moved in 7 hours. So that's either very good or very bad.
Nah, it's just very great.
It's usually when doctors come around.
Yeah, right. Like, come see if I still have a pulse.
Right?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, I'm enjoying myself. This was awesome, man.
Yeah, we had a great time yesterday. It was his birthday.
It was.
Yeah, we had
happy
a nice
birthday.
Time.
Thank you.
Cooley's party. That was the first, you know, the third concert we did.
Mm-hmm.
The second concert. Tonight's the third, and we're playing a place that we really love. The last time we played down here, BMW, I'll tell you.
BMW, tell us what happened last time.
It was like, I mean, that's it, an 80s movie. It was just like, you know what it was? It was the last show. It was a Sunday. Everybody knew they had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's just kind of just like, you know what? Like, let's just have fun. And, you know what I mean? I try to do the best that I can do because I tend to feed off the crowd and see what's going on. You know what I mean? So just within the vibe, I just came up with Get Fucked Up. And
that's when that happened?
That's exactly when that happened. I was kind of big on my boy Wolfie. Started off with Wolfie, more or less. getting this thing started, and then I don't know what happened. I just started saying "Get Fucked Up," and everybody started singing it back to me.
Yeah,
and it was just like, okay, here's where it go. And then chairs start going in the pool, chicks was in the pool. I don't even know. Jimmy mooned everybody and was in the pool, and it just got ridiculous. You know what I mean? So hopefully, I mean, you know, they say don't live in the past, but hopefully we have that same kind of vibe. So I'm looking forward to that.
Turnout, if we can get the turnout, we'll be happy. I mean, that was phenomenal. We had a couple thousand people like in the streets.
Yeah,
so that was pretty great.
Yeah, you can drive home. I remember.
No, it was pretty great.
You guys usually come down during a surfing festival, right? And that's next weekend.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's initially how it started because Jimmy Dowd and I. Jimmy runs St. James Clothing, which is a surf clothing company. He makes his own surfboards.
Yeah.
And we were very plugged into the surf scene in Rockaway Beach. And there's a big connection between Rincon here in Puerto Rico and in the Rockaways. You know, they have a lot of people trade off, you know, people from here go there and vice versa. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's where it started. You know,
my favorite thing about that was we all forget how bad that show started because the PA didn't work.
Right.
And we were there for like 3 hours. There's just surfing videos, and there were rum punches, and everyone's angry on rum punches. But then it was one of those moments. It was one of the moments where we had all this frustration, and we were able to get it out in a way that was positive.
Right.
That was a big learning experience for me because like once we hit it, then we just hit it. Where instead of like screaming at people in the audience, which doesn't work as well, I find.
I get booed.
It's funny how people don't respond to getting screamed at. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Very few shows people go. Yeah. I want to give somebody money to make me feel terrible.
Yeah, I was going to just say, apparently you've never been to a Katy Perry show.
No, but to answer the question, I think the next show is May 1st or something like that.
In New York. That's the next one back in New York, right?
Yeah, we're supposed to be in New York.
You guys are all originally from New York, everybody?
Yeah, which is, you know, a rare thing these days.
I was going to say, yeah, New Yorkers.
And even rarer. These guys are actually from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They might be the four people left.
They're one brownstone that is not gentrified.
Somebody has that sound who was like, when I was like Brooklyn, people kept coming up to me, it's like, you're from Brooklyn, it's like I'm an endangered species. Like, well, yo, you're from Brooklyn? Yeah.
No one's from Brooklyn anymore.
Like, wow, okay. Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I feel like if you live in Brooklyn now, you constantly have to go down to the basement and see if hipsters have moved in. Yeah. They just start infesting and like, we're growing our own crops down here. Oh!
I'm pocket mulch.
You are pocket mulch. So you guys are staying in New York? Any more tours planned other than like
right now, the future's open, and what we're trying to do right now is secure some like you know some sponsors and you know a regular you know touring agent. That's probably the best approach. We want to get on some festivals maybe this summer. I think that's the best thing for us is exposure because I think as good as the record came out, I think our live feel is really what puts it over the top. I think we're a real live band. You know, with the combination of like the old school rock players and you know the new school meets the old school, I think it's what really is appealing about the band. So, you know, I hope we just can get in like some situations where we can expose the music to more people. That's really all I hope so.
Yeah, the party or the showcase at Drome in New York City on May 1st. It's going to be a good show to really showcase all of the live music and. You know, for all the people on the podcast who are from New York or the tri-state, you know, definitely come on down. It's an early show on a Thursday, 9:30 at night, and we're going to hit it hard, and it's going to be good. We have another band after us, another you know traditional reggae band playing. There's going to be a DJ spinning afterwards to make it a little like a reggae dance party. So it's going to be a nice event.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Walker, my final question is, why do you hate Captain America's costume so much?
Gotta hate something.
It's the simplest answers you'll ever get.
You see, when it comes to matters of the art, it becomes a tricky game.
All right, we're back. It has been...
How long have we been here?
It has been about 9 hours since we've seen each other.
More importantly, how long has it been since we left Paradise?
Oh, that was... No, it's been about 14 hours, yeah.
14 hours in.
We had a flight back home at 2:50 in the morning.
Yep.
And we got here about 9.
And for those of you who haven't had the privilege of being I mean, what kind of, how would you classify that country? It's not like an airport like O'Hare. It's a fucking hangar.
It's a tiny little thing.
With a lighthouse. It's like, it's amazing.
It's like flying into Billings, Montana. It's like it has like 8 gates and you have to walk outside. You had the best quote ever when we got on the plane.
Oh, yeah. I've done this a few times. You get in like small airports and they walk you out on the runway to get on the plane. So you're boarding the plane outside. You don't have to go through that like tunnel thing that most planes
you
like
climb the stairs out on the runway.
And every time I do it, I always want to like turn around and like close the door and then be like, nice try, Lao She, like Indiana Jones. It's like, that's all I think about. Because how often should I say are you on a fucking runway?
I know.
Especially in like Puerto Rico, where it's like, you know, there's palm trees and shit all over the place. It's very Indiana Jonesy's.
Yeah, whenever I'm the opposite. Whenever I get off a plane, I like to pretend I'm one of the Beatles. I just want to wave to everybody, like, hello.
And no one has any fucking clue who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm not wearing my Nehru jacket.
There you go.
That's the problem. But since the last time we talked, I think we did our recordings on Saturday with the band.
In the earlier in the day too.
Yeah, Saturday. And today's Monday, so we had the second show, which was insane.
The second show, both shows were actually really great, and we missed them. They did 3 shows down there, and we missed one. They did a show Thursday night.
They were supposed to do a Sunday night show, and they moved it to Thursday, and we didn't fly until late Thursday night.
Yeah, well,
Walker
and a lot of them guys had to leave early, too, because it was flights canceled and storms and shit going on, so everyone's like moving their shit around.
Yeah, this huge storm rolled in, which hit here over the weekend. We were lucky our flight wasn't canceled. But man, how many times did I check the airport to think?
I think we were checking it every couple hours.
Yeah, we thought we'd be stuck there.
Just to see.
Which wouldn't have been bad at all.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No, and some of the people we were with are still down there.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, by Thursday, I think the most part, most of them are going to be home, it seems.
Yeah, but Saturday, they play this place, the Pool Bar, and we'll have pictures up on the Facebook page. I uploaded all my pictures, and some of our friends are going to upload theirs, which are better.
Yeah, and there's video coming from the Pool Bar, too. There's a video of a lot of their sets and stuff they did.
Yeah, I think they're going to put that on YouTube.
Yeah, that was really crazy because it was a great venue. Both places they were at looked great. They had a real good setup both times, and they just nailed it. I think these guys, Walker and his guys, they like everyone was great. It's like they're such a good group of people.
Yeah.
It's like they're all awesome, but they're all so different. It's like if I was just happened to be in a room with like the 7 of them, I wouldn't think that they fucking hung out. You know what I mean? It's like they don't look like they're so tight, but then you talk to them and they're like, these guys are like family.
And you hear
other.
In the interview, just each one of them has such a different point of view, but
yeah.
there's no conflict there.
No, and that's what you just kind of think like in bands, especially something like this where there's so many different backgrounds. And I mean, they're all from New York or whatever, but it's just weird because they're all no ego. You know, they're all just there to like make music and have a good time. And it's like none of them are getting in each other's way or stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, but the place they played Saturday was a pool bar. It was literally a pool.
Yeah, it's a fucking in-ground pool with tables around it and then a bar.
And a bar on one
and
side.
Then and a shed.
Yeah, and there's like a shed on the other side where the stage was. So because of that, by the end of the
was
night...
Was it a stage up there, though?
There was. There was a platform built.
Okay, they built a platform.
And it was kind of
like
raised
a wall.
Anyway, yeah.
It's like a wall surrounding the pool bar. And I just thought it was just like, oh, there's fucking ground. They're just standing up because I didn't go up there. But they had like huge screen and stuff playing videos mm-hmm. and like the music sounded great.
People were stage diving into the pool.
Yeah, they were jumping off the stage, which is probably like 5 feet into an in-ground pool. So another 5 to 6 feet or whatever. It's just like for a total of like, I don't know. People were just like, it was crazy.
Yeah, and they had conga lines running around the pool.
Yeah, I didn't know somebody had thrown a bottle or something into the pool, and then some guy jumped in and got his leg all fucked up, and he was at like the bar, the restaurant we went to the next day, and he's got like this fucking bandage on, and Maria bandaged him up or something.
Yeah,
he's got a good scar, and he's got a good story to tell.
Yeah, it was insane. You, however, were insane that night.
Yeah, this is interesting. I don't know if it was Carmelo or one of the guys at the shop coined the phrase Stevel. When I go off the rails and have a little bit too much of chemicals in my brain. And I don't know what it is. I go a little nuts. And then we were talking, maybe we talked about this on the podcast, or I know Dave and Stu brought this up a couple weeks ago. We were undergoing some experiments at the store, and I do accents, I guess, but I don't like...
You did every accent.
But I've never been to any of these places. I did a Boston accent. I've never been to Boston. I do an accent, like, I live in the South. I've never lived in the South. I've only ever lived in Chicago my whole life, and apparently, like, 30 different accents come out when I've been drinking, and they all get mixed together to my own little variety.
Well, everybody else is from New York. You were the only person from Chicago, so everybody got really... Your Chicago accent got really thick. My New York accent gets thicker when I drink.
Yeah.
Your Chicago accent was really thick, but it was unique in the room, so everybody wanted to hear you talk. But
Which
then
is weird, because I don't...
Somewhere during the evening, you switched to a Boston accent.
Yeah, and it's so hard to come down from that.
From, like, Boston?
Just from any accent. Like, even it's hard because I'm so used to, you know, when you're... You spend 3 days hanging around how many people? 30 people, maybe?
Yeah.
That are all... Heavy, heavy New York accents. It sounds like the fucking Goodfellas. It's really hard to, like, to switch that. Like, I'll have, like, trace of this accent for, like, the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. Your New York accent was terrible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I don't know anything about accents, but I fucking pull them out of my pants, like, all the time.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the best thing you said, which was...
Oh, yeah, what did I say?
You were talking
about, I don't remember a lot of this. This video.
You were talking about Jeff Goldblum.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
You said it on the show. However, at that point, you said... You loved him so much that if he walked into the room and, I quote, started talking about dinosaurs and chaos theory and shit, I would suck his dick.
Absolutely.
And then you turned to Roger, who's in The King's Heartbeat, and said, you know, you look a lot like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a come on so much.
I think it was a non sequitur, but everybody saw the connection.
And that's fine, totally. Roger was a cool guy. I feel bad. He was apparently he was pretty sick the whole weekend.
He had a sinus infection when he got down there, from the humidity. Yeah, so he had
And he looks
time.
Like Jeff Goldblum in the same way, like, I look like any short, white, dark-haired person. You know what I mean? He's tall. He's got dark hair. He's like tannish.
He looks like Jeff Goldblum, like you look like Tom Hanks.
Yes. Yes. Me and Tom Hanks are both semi clean shaven fellows with dark hair.
Dark
and
curly
white,
hair.
Pasty
yes.
faces. It's just like, yes. That is the same.
Yeah.
So I think that actually, she's got video of that, whatever I'm screaming about. The Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put that.
Yeah. Why didn't you?
The Wi-Fi signal was really bad.
Oh yeah, the Wi-Fi.
So
all
I think
up.
Coming this week, if we can, we will. Yeah. We will have video of Steven explaining how he feels about the South on YouTube. And
I
we
think
will put
I
that
pretty
on the
much
page.
Like whole parts of the country. I'm just like ready to turn into parking lots.
You were shooting down states just one by one.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit states in this union. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah, and if you are from one of the states that Steven will disparage in this video, I want you to know that you're the exception.
If you're a nice person,
we like you.
Yeah, but overall it was a good trip, and it just heavy drinking for 3 days in paradise on a beach.
That's a very good point.
It takes its toll. You know, it was a lot of fun. But that last day I was
last
just
day
like
was pretty quiet.
I was just exhausted.
Although they had that rock star pina colada and I was
yeah,
sober.
Yeah, you were crazy.
I had one of those
too.
And I lost yeah, I
you
lost
had two
my
of
damn
those.
Mind.
You were screaming at me that you were gonna punch me in the face if I didn't drink it.
Okay, I
that's
see
not
that.
Normally something somebody says. Normally it's if you keep drinking my drink, I'm gonna punch you in the face. But you were like, no, you have to try this or else I'm going to punch you in the face.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I didn't punch you.
No, you didn't. You might have forgot or moved on to like another topic or something.
No, this night was so good that a woman spit an entire beer into my hair.
Yeah.
And I didn't care.
We were doing a group picture, and I don't know, I'll try to tag it on Facebook or something. And then Walker got all pissed off, who rightfully so, somebody spit on him. This lady just standing next to me, we're doing like a group picture, and just spit her beer. Somebody must have said a joke or something, and she spit all over you and Walker. And like,
yeah, but she spit all over me, and then there was not enough of my hair to catch all the beer, so some of it splashed onto Walker, and Walker was so much angrier than I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, you realize I was the buffer for
you
a
took
full
the brunt
beer.
Of it.
Oh, yeah, I just styled my hair differently for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, but it's yeah, Pool Bar was a cool place. What was the other name of the other place we were at? The first one.
That had a Spanish name nobody could pronounce.
Yeah, where's one of the Daves to help us out here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I really don't. They were both beautiful places. Every person in Puerto Rico is beautiful. Every single person.
Wanted you to just drunkenly hit on everyone. I just wanted to watch that happen.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure.
They intimidating, or were you just like?
Yeah, I think when you see somebody and they're just so beautiful, you're just like, "Why? I know I don't have a shot. I'm just not even gonna take a shot. I'm having a good time just sitting here being drunk. Why ruin that with going up to get turned down by some beautiful broad? I can get turned down by beautiful people anywhere. I don't have to go to a fucking other country to do it."
I used to say that when I was single, and I'd be on my way out to the bar. I go, "You know, I might not get laid, but I will get drunk."
Yeah.
And that's usually what happened. I can control one,
but the other one's out of my hands.
Yeah. Yeah, but some of the women there were so beautiful that, you know, you spend your life seeing beautiful people on TV, and you go, well, they're on TV. There's a lot of makeup, there's hair, there's lighting, you know. And I've met people in real life that were, you know, sex symbols that weren't that attractive. I met Heather Locklear, and in real life, I didn't think she was that attractive.
Yeah.
So you go through life going, people aren't that beautiful. Then you go to Puerto Rico.
And everyone was. It's like, yeah. Everyone looked like they had, like, beach bodies, like you see in, like you, just like the movies or something. It's depressing. Yeah. Yeah, it just makes people you just feel like, oh, I want to get in shape again. But then, you know, I hate exercising.
But then you drink rum all day.
And I like drinking rum and coffee, and I sit at work and watch cartoons all day. So the weight's only going to add on.
That's pretty good. That's pretty much what I did on the way
home. Oh, so the best thing that happened, I've been waiting for this.
Are you talking about last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is hard to put into context because I spent a lot of time on this trip drunk and only picking up like bits of conversation. So at one point, one of the guys in the band had said something like, "That fucking guy tried to take my fucking beers." And then somebody else said it was David Arquette. And I'm thinking, oh, he's from New York. He ran into this guy like you do in New York. You're like tripping over celebrities.
No, none of us have ever seen David Arquette before. And if you don't remember, David Arquette is one of the Arquettes, Rosanna Patricia Arquette. He's the one that was in Scream and Eight-Legged Freaks.
And didn't he marry the girl from
Friends? He's married to Courtney Cox.
Currently?
I don't think they're currently married.
It's irrelevant to the story.
He was very much on his own last night.
He was. And that's why this story is so magical. So I had thought they were telling a story about how they had bumped into him in New York and he was an asshole and tried to take their beers. What I didn't know was that he
was right behind
us.
Was
right there in Puerto Rico, like at the same place. And then one of our other guys was like smoking out with him on the beach. Anyway, so we went to get tacos at this place across the street. David Arquette comes, and this is like when I'm seeing him. I'm like, oh, I guess that is him. He's taking pictures with waitresses, and he's like hugging everybody, and he's like, put your heart against my heart. And he's like, this is how we do it. And he's like hugging them and like touching their like hearts together or something. I don't know. He was stoned and drunk for sure. And then
he was coked up. Let's just
we get there.
I don't care if this turns into an episode of TMZ. This is too funny.
He was screaming at one girl who was with him. You're like, you get the champagne, I'll get the Coke, and we're gonna have a good time. And then
she goes up to the taco stand.
Then she went to the taco.
Do you have champagne?
Which they didn't, because it's a taco stand. So then we're back in the bar. He's back in the bar, and he's running around on his cell phone, making all these calls, screaming at people, waving at people, signing autographs or whatever it is the famous people do. The bar closes. Everyone's outside. Everyone's in the streets outside this bar. And this is not like a resort kind of place. You know what I mean? It's like the place we were in was real nice. There was a lot of real nice restaurants and places. But like the next to the bar was a fucking abandoned, overgrown with grass lot. The street was broken down street. There were just cars everywhere. Gangs of dogs just roaming the streets.
There were roaming wild dogs.
I'm painting a picture here.
This
is what
two
I'm
in the morning two on in the a morning. Sunday.
So, and then all these guys come up out of nowhere, presumably like just wandered off the street. And they're meeting with him and they're exchanging stuff. He's handing them money. They're handing them fucking cocaine. And I wish I had the foresight to take my phone out and just hit record and just stand there and record fucking David Arquette buying cocaine in Puerto Rico. And John, yeah, the best thing to say about it was this was Saturday night, right? No, Sunday night. So while the Hollywood elite are sitting around in tuxedos and fine dresses and socializing and having pizza with Ellen DeGeneres and taking selfies that are crashing
Twitter.
Yeah, this
is during the Oscars.
During the Oscars, a guy who knows probably a fair amount of people in that room is in Puerto Rico, not the nice
nicest part of Puerto Rico, buying cocaine and running around in the streets. And he wasn't like a jerk about it or anything. He wasn't, as far as I could tell,
He was tweaked, so we were scared of him.
Well, that's why I texted my mom. I'm like, hey, David Arquette's here. And she's like, oh, did you go meet him? Did you go talk to him? And I'm like, no, he's buying fucking cocaine. I'm going nowhere near him. And then we're getting ready to catch our flight. It's like this is 1 in the morning, 1:30.
It's like 2 hours later. Yeah,
we had gone back to the condo. We had relaxed, and then we got in the car. We were going back. We were driving past the bar we left 2 hours ago. David Arquette.
There is no one there.
No one in the streets except him and like three other guys, and he's still just standing in the street now, presumably coked out of his mind, just yelling and screaming at people.
Yep.
But not like in a violent way. Like he didn't hit nobody. He didn't This wasn't one of those like, oh, David Arquette's down in fucking Puerto Rico beating people up or whatever. No, he just went down to Puerto Rico to buy some fucking cocaine while all his buddies were at the fucking Oscars.
I couldn't believe he was still there. Like I was right about to
say. It was like 6 hours.
I was right about to say as a joke or driving by, I'm like, hey, look, there's David Arquette. And he was actually fucking there.
This is awesome. And I'm sure I've met celebrities, but like, you know, we didn't meet him or anything or talk to him, but it was just like, it was just kind of weird to see where it's just like, it's like you said, it's the same night as the Oscars. It was just kind of funny that they're all sitting around like crashing Twitter with that photo thing or whatever. And he's fucking
crashing Twitter,
buying cocaine, which is just awesome. And then I told Stu, I came to the shop this morning and Stu stopped in and I told him the story and he's just like, I have a little bit more respect for David Arquette right now. And it's just like, sure you do. But it was like a good, it was like, this trip could not have ended any other way than that. But if I had said, hey, we're going to run into a celebrity or, you know, however far down the rung of celebrities this guy is, you know, you would have never guessed if I said, we ran into a celebrity down here. Guess who it was? You would never fucking guess David Arquette, and you never guess that he's fucking buying cocaine.
And he was taking pictures with everybody.
Yeah.
And, I just wanted somebody to take a picture of him while he had a dime bag in his hand.
That's what I wanted to get at the video. I wanted to videotape it, but I was, like, stupid and drunk and not thinking. And watching all these crazy wild dogs running around.
Yeah, so this was my third trip there, and it was your first. What did you think overall?
It was a blast. Yeah, it's definitely one of those trips where if it's like, this is like the fifth or sixth time I think the band's been down there doing it. If it's every year and I can afford to go every year, I'm going every year. It's awesome. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful place. It's a lot of fun. The waves, the water, everything about it is just, it's awesome. If you ever get the chance, I highly recommend it. It's a great trip.
It was pretty amazing.
And it's usually we go down there, you saying it's like a surfing festival or something.
Yeah.
But they missed it by a week or it was a week
came
later
in
or something.
A week earlier. And a lot of that is run by St. James, which is the t-shirt company, and also Uncharted Studios, which is another t-shirt company down in Puerto Rico. You can follow them both on Facebook. They do a lot of events like that. And they run really well. They know what they're doing. They know how to appeal to that crowd. And that crowd was happy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe how amped up they were getting everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know, even the only thing that was unawesome that happened was
getting home.
Well, besides that, that's inevitable.
Looking at the gray world,
I'm talking about the uninevitable things.
It looked like we went from
we knew we were coming home.
Flying home, just looking out the window, we went from Weekend at Bernie's to The Thing.
Yeah.
It was just everything was gray and
white. Washed out.
Oh, and you would not let go of your shorts. I was like, we're getting on the plane now. I'm changing into long pants. And you wouldn't do it. And
I changed in the shorts at in the bathroom at O'Hare Airport. So I was already in Chicago walking around in like 9 degrees in shorts.
Yeah, you were.
So the worst thing that happened as I... you know, as we were doing, we were drinking this whole time, I decided I could put sunblock on myself.
Oh.
And, like, totally, that I have the arm reach to get everything. And I think we got the photo up on the internet. It's very glamorous.
The photo will be up on the Facebook page.
It's me sunburned, and it's, like, from the back of both my elbows, and it arches across my back and then down the other side, because apparently I can't reach the back of my arms.
It's literally everywhere on your back you can't reach.
Yeah, it shows all my vulnerable spots.
And that's why you were given the nickname. Name of Red Stripe.
Yeah.
Which, if I know nicknames in New York, will stick to you forever.
Yeah, so anytime I ever see any of these guys, you're like, hey, fucking Red Stripe, what's going on?
Yep, I am 41 years old and everyone calls me Kid Clark.
Yeah.
Because when I first went there, I was 14,
and they're all
everybody
like
was like 16.
Yeah.
And now I'm 41, and I have two children, and I'm still Kid Clark.
Yeah, even to the people that you've met down there from New York that didn't know you back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Wolf calls you Kid Clark, and
he's
10 years younger than you, and you met him 5 years ago as opposed to, you know, 20.
Yeah, so you're red striped for life, my friend.
That's fine. I'm okay with
you
that.
You should just add that to your sign-off on the show. Kid Clark and Red Stripe.
Yeah.
Now we're like an indie comic. I feel like we're a comic written by Evan Dorkin.
I don't even know who that is.
Milk and Cheese.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go. So,
but, yeah, it's... If you ever get the chance, you should go.
Yeah, so we were going to do an Oscar podcast, and honestly, we don't even know what won.
I haven't checked. All I checked was...
12 Years a Slave won Best Picture.
I want to see that bad, but that looks super depressing.
Yeah, all that we saw, I think the only movie you and I both saw was Gravity.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gravity was good. Visually a very cool movie. I had a couple problems with it. And,
what?
You know, spoilers can go fuck itself because it's...
It's on DVD now.
Yeah, it's on DVD.
I finally saw it like 2 weeks ago, but we haven't actually talked about it even off the air.
Yeah, the two big things I had is there's a part where George Clooney's he's getting carried away with like this parachute thing. He's about to die, and they're tethered together, and they're drifting apart. And he's basically saying like, hey, untether me so you can survive and just let me drift off into space and die. And the problem with that is there's no gravity in space. So to save George Clooney's life, all she has to do is tug on the tether, and he'll drift back towards her.
No, but she couldn't because the thing was becoming unlooped. So if she pulled, if she had to contract her body, she would have pulled her foot free from the cables, and then they both would have.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
My problem with that,
I talked to a physicist about this.
Oh yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson was tweeting about the
I heard he was talking about like inconsistencies. I wanted to look that up, but a friend of ours at the shop, this guy Anthony Paparo, a really cool guy, comes in. He's a physicist, I think. He knows all about science. He's like, this is his major. He did this in school. He's a very smart guy. And we were talking a little bit about it, about like the science of it and like what how, and he's just like, yeah, you just pull on it and he would just kind of come back. And then the other thing
my problem with that scene before you move on to another scene.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much that, but just when George Clooney is presumably going to just float to his death.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to care.
No, but I think he's got a good view, and he's really charming in that movie.
Oh, he's George Clooney.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
George Clooney only ever plays George Clooney. You know what I mean? Even when he's playing Batman, he's playing George Clooney.
He's George Clooney with a bubble on his head. I will say in Old Brother Rothbaugh, he's kind of playing Clark Gable. But other than that,
yeah,
he's
but that's kind of the same guy.
But like, you know, it's really Sandra Bullock's movie. I thought it was really about the two of them, but it's really Sandra Bullock's movie, and he has a smaller role.
Yes.
But it's so much about her movie that, like, when he's going to die, he's just like, okay, you'll be fine, Sandra Bullock. This is what you need to do.
Right.
And you know what? I try to be nice to people and think of other people, but if I'm going to die, there's going to be a moment where it's like, well, now I'm going to fucking die.
Right. You'd have a little moment about it.
Yeah, I would think about myself for, like, a minute.
And then the only other thing... I had about it that kind of bothered me. This was more like a freaking me out thing than like, well, it's not consistent with science. Is they destroy the International Space Station, Hubble Space Telescope, and like literally every $1 billion equipment.
Everything that's in space now.
Gets destroyed. Yeah. And that just sets back like the whole space program like to the Stone Age.
I also think that starts off World War III. Because like...
Probably. Because it was like a Russian thing.
The Russians are blowing up their old satellite and then it goes out of control and it destroys every other satellite.
And scientifically why I guess it doesn't work is the Chinese space station, the International Space Station, the Hubble Space, all these things are in such different orbits. There's no way. And she's like, oh, yeah, you just got to fly over there with your thrusters. They are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles apart. They'd never, ever come into contact. Mm-hmm. And there's so much junk floating up there anyway. It's not like all this stuff would just, like, whip around the planet and fucking blow everything up like it did. Because we would have done that, like, 30 years ago.
It was.
But visually, it was a really good movie. And it was something I really didn't want to see because I'm, like, pretty fascinated with space. And, like, I don't want to see, like, the horror side of it. Like, well, this is what happens when your helmet explodes and the guy gets, like... turns into a mummy, you know?
Yeah, it was a little bit like open water in outer space.
Yeah, I was actually reading, I was watching an interview, they were interviewing an astronaut, and they were asking him about gravity, and they were talking about that scene where like the astronaut dies, and they're like, hey, when they train you to do astronaut stuff or go be an astronaut, do they ever prep you for like what to do if somebody dies in space? Like, what do you do? And he's like, they don't do it. That's not like... it doesn't come up in astronaut training. They're like, well, if you die in space, here's what you do with the body. They don't have like a, there's no procedure. There's
no procedure.
For it.
I guess you can just leave it floating around up there.
Well,
it,
they
it'll
were
burn up in reentry.
He was saying is just you know, if it's one of his guys on his crew, and he the same for him is like, you know, you really want to bring that back so the family has something to bury. And he's like, yeah, if there's nothing on the books for it, but he said if a buddy like mine died like that, I'd bring the body back.
Well, if you can, yeah.
If you can, yeah. You're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna go chasing it through the upper atmosphere,
yeah,
or whatever. This took a dark turn though.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a bit of a dark movie. It was better than RoboCop though, which I saw the same night.
Yeah, I didn't see RoboCop.
RoboCop's not good, and yeah. RoboCop's so not good that I watched the original RoboCop again.
To like wash the taste out of your mouth?
Yeah. Well, you and I left for the airport about 3 p.m, so I had the day off. And I just sat around watching movies and making sure I had packed everything 17 times. And I watched the original RoboCop, and that movie's great.
Yeah, what's really upsetting, I guess, about this new RoboCop, which I haven't seen, is the cast is awesome. It's like...
Yes, this is crazy, yeah.
This is the cast of, like, you'd like to hang out with these people.
This is the cast that you give the craziest movie ever made to, because it's Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Keaton, Jackie Earle Haley, and...
Gary Oldman was in it.
Gary Oldman, yeah, Gary Oldman's in it.
And it's like they're all really good character
and
actors.
And they're all known for going completely psycho in movies. And RoboCop was one of the most psycho movies ever made in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they don't get to do any of
that. That sucks.
Yeah, but it wasn't nominated for anything. But we missed the entire Oscars. I did see the selfie.
Yeah, that was just
which
really,
is cool.
Yeah, it's cool, and I like that it crashed Twitter. I read a little bit about it. Tina or Lisa or somebody posted some on Facebook about it, and it's I guess Twitter actually contacted Ellen DeGeneres like during the show and was like, "Hey, you crashed Twitter. Good job," because it was like it's never been happened before. It's like parts of Twitter just like crashed, and it's the most retweeted thing in the world.
And even we were out in the middle of Puerto Rico watching David Arquette jump around with bad Wi-Fi signal. Even we saw it 70,000 times.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe my parents or somebody TiVo'd it. I'd watch the Oscars, but it's something that's like, you got to TiVo it.
Well, we usually have a big party here.
Yeah, you guys did that party last year.
Yeah, we didn't do it. My wife was actually in Colorado the same weekend, so so no one was here.
Yeah, except
so
the cat.
So we didn't have it. The cat was very upset when I came home.
Yeah.
I just tweeted, if you follow me on Twitter, @notinmybook, I tweeted that when I came home... in the snow and it was 10 degrees and there's no one in the house. It reminded me of like when Bruce Wayne comes back to Wayne Manor in Batman Begins and it's all like sealed up. He's like, I'll tear this place down brick by brick.
Yeah.
And it felt just like that, except Alfred was my cat.
Right.
Instead of going, it's your father's name, sir. And he's all he's got left of him. Instead of that, it was, meow, 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 meow.
And just not meow. Stopping.
Yeah, and as you guys know, he's been a solo cat for a couple of months now, so he was completely on his own. And he's not used to it.
Yeah,
but it was good to be gone. I'm telling you though, it was hard to come back to this winter. I walked in the house and I was just like, let's just sell this damn thing. Let's sell this.
Let's
and
go
move,
live on a hut on the beach.
Move somewhere warm.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a good summer. It's the dream.
I think we've earned it,
I'm
and
done
I think
with this
so have all of you. But yeah, this. We just wanted to give you a quick wrap up. This was great. Check out the Facebook page. We're going to have a lot of pictures coming out that were really fun. We had a lot of great stories told this week, a lot of great old stories, some of which I've told on the podcast before. I think some of them you heard, and some of them there was one story that I was in that I completely forgot about.
That's a good part with catching up with old friends like that.
Yeah, it's really good.
People remind you of stuff.
They're all great people, and they're all great storytellers, so whenever we can have them on the show, it's great. But don't forget, you can find the King's Heartbeat album on cdbaby.com and also on iTunes. We've played you like 4 or 5 songs from that, so you get a good sense of what it is. They put on a hell of a show.
They really do. We did this a whole podcast once. I don't know anything about music, and these guys were just awesome. I've got Walker was kind enough to gift me 2 of the CDs they got. And
You got a good education in music, too, because
you
were around people who's like very, very into music, so there was a lot of... Not only did you hear a lot of music, because anytime
people
we were
talking
in a hotel
about
room,
it, and
people were playing different things.
Yeah,
yeah. People were really discussing.
And even them just like sitting around, like messing around with stuff, or you know, tweaking with stuff. It's really interesting. And like I said, I really don't know anything about the stuff, but they were awesome. Like I love, love, love everything they put on. They did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. So you can find them, as I said, St. James and Uncharted Studio are both on Facebook. They run this festival, so if you want to see the other events they do a lot of events during the year. I know St. James does a lot in New York. And Uncharted does a lot down in Puerto Rico, so anytime you want to go down there. @notinmybook is our Twitter feed. I've been posting things about
about it for this week, and you know, just keep passing it around. We're hearing better and better things. We heard from a few people down there that they like the show and they listen to the show. A lot of people were really glad to meet you, Steven,
because they're
like people that are listening to the podcast, and also you're goddamn entertaining.
Yeah, I think I made an impact that one night. I touched a lot of hearts.
You really
with
did.
With the screaming and the yelling. And I don't know how much of that video she's got or how long I was. I didn't even know she was recording. But we'll dig around for that. I think Maria comes home about Thursday, I think. She's getting home, so you know, give her a day or so to upload everything, and then we'll
as soon as stuff is up, we'll post it on the Facebook page.
And, yeah, as it comes in.
Oh, we got to tell one more story. This is
this will be the closer.
Yeah, the closer is as we've been saying. There's a lot of guys that are characters. Our friend Greg Wolf, who's a great guy on Facebook, is hilarious. He's a carpenter on Sesame Street.
Yeah, he's got a good gig.
He was telling these really sweet stories about how you know how decent and kind everyone is on Sesame Street and how they care about each other, which is what you want to hear. As you guys know, I'm a huge Muppet fan, and I have kids that are still watching Sesame Street. We had this one conversation, as you do, as our show runs, about like the weirdest animals in the world.
Yeah, I don't know how it got started. I think we were sitting near the ocean, and I think we were talking about like
giant squids.
Yeah, giant squids and weird shit you find in the ocean. And everyone's talking, this thing's got like a lantern on its head, and this thing's like an octopus with giant.
And giant
cups.
Squids can be like 60 feet in length. People are like 40 feet, 60 feet.
Yeah, none of us know anything about fucking giant squids.
We're just talking out of
it's
our ass on the beach.
We've read on articles on Wikipedia.
But then like so I think we're talking about like the lamprey fish that have the luminescent bulb in front of it, and Wolf in the middle of it goes, you know what's a weird animal? Chicken.
Yeah, he's just like, think about it.
You ever see a chicken?
Fucking weird looking animal.
Chicken. So just think of that.
Yeah.
By the way, just let you know, Wolf, everyone's seen a chicken.
Yeah, literally everyone on the planet, I'm pretty sure.
Have you ever seen a chicken?
Yeah.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!